In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Yesterday was the Feast of the Protection, and as most of you know, Father David and I were in Chicago because it's the patronal feast of the cathedral, and so our fall clergy conference is usually held around that time. So we were flying back yesterday afternoon, and as it happened, I think providentially, we wound up sitting at the wrong gate because they had changed the gate number on us, but we didn't know. And it just so happened I was sitting across from a woman who we sparked up a conversation. This happens to me a lot when I'm in airports, especially because when you're dressed like a priest, people often, even people who are not Orthodox, will come up and start conversations, and I've had people bare their souls to me in ways that I rarely hear even in confession. I had a guy who had a first-class ticket one time, and he switched with the guy who was next to me so he could sit and talk to me the whole way back to Houston, and he really did bare his soul to me. But in this case, it turned out that this woman was Orthodox, at least in terms of her background. But as we talked, she said that she had not gone to the church in quite some time, and as I asked her some more questions, it became apparent that there were issues that she had with certain teachings of the church, and the issue behind that was that she didn't really believe that the scriptures were fully inspired. Now, whether this was because there had been a lack of teaching in her youth, or whether she had just simply failed to listen to the teaching that she had received, I don't know. But this is definitely a serious problem. There was a time not too long ago when even unbelievers would have accepted the authority of Scripture without question. They didn't follow it. They didn't do what the Scriptures told them to do, but they wouldn't have denied that what the Scriptures said was true. But we live in a time where even people within the church are coming to doubt the Scriptures. Sometimes it's just because they hear things in the culture, or as I said, they're just not taught well in church. But we have to understand what the Scriptures are and what they really mean. The Scriptures are inspired. St. Paul tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is the way that it's translated in the King James. And if you were really woodenly literal in terms of translating the word that's behind the phrase inspired by God, you would say that all Scripture is God-breathed. All of Scripture is true, and we don't get to pick and choose which parts of the Scripture we want to believe. Now, as I was talking to her, she accused people in the church of picking and choosing. She said people in the church pick and choose which parts of the Old Testament they want to believe. And I explained to her, no, it's not arbitrary. There's a way that the church understands these things. And she was talking particularly about the Old Testament laws. And I explained to her that there are civil laws. There are certain laws in the Old Testament that are unique to the time and place of Israel because they were things that every society has to have, like if your ox gores my ox, how are we going to deal with that? And so it's not, the church has never taken the position that every Christian society had to have a law that exactly paralleled those kinds of laws. And then there were ceremonial laws, which the New Testament makes very clear are done away with in the Old Testament, although they had symbolic value. But for example, in the Old Testament, people had to eat kosher food. People couldn't wear clothes that were made from two different kinds of cloth. Because there was a point about holiness that was being made, but God, through his prophets, never condemned the pagans because they weren't eating kosher food or they were wearing cloth that had different kinds of material, because those things are not inherently sinful. But he did condemn them for violating the moral law, and the moral law is something that doesn't change. So we need to understand this. And this brings us to the section of Psalm 118 that I'm going to talk about today, which is the 12th section. In the Hebrew, every line in this section of the psalm begins with the Hebrew letter Lamed, which the word Lamed literally means to teach. And so it talks about the importance of what we believe and how we are taught. The letter itself, scholars believe, it actually looks a little bit like either a shepherd's crook or a goad. But in both cases, a shepherd's crook and a goad are meant to guide animals to go in a particular direction, and sometimes you got to give the animals a little poke to go in the right direction. Well, this section of the psalm is telling us what direction we should go. And it begins with the statement, "Forever, O Lord, thy word abideth in heaven." You could also translate that, "Thy word is settled in heaven." Human opinions are always changing, but the word of the Lord is unchanging. The principles that we find in Scripture don't change from day to day. They're not subject to a vote. We don't get to talk about whether or not we're going to believe these things. These things are unchanging, and we are required to conform ourselves to it rather than trying to conform the Scriptures to what we would like them to say. As the prophet Isaiah says, "The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." And as Christ himself said, "And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail." And when I was talking to this lady at the airport, she talked about how she loved the Lord, and she still believed in Christ. She still considered herself to be a Christian. And I pointed out to her, well, Christ didn't look at the Scriptures the way that you are. Christ believed that the Scriptures were without any error, that they were inspired by God, and I quoted this passage to her. And I should say, I think I made some progress with her, but it's unfortunate that the message had not been conveyed to her sooner, because we're not talking about a young woman. This is a woman who was older than I am, and I pray for her, and I hope that she will take some of the things I said and be guided back to the church. But the point is, if you want to abide forever in heaven, then you need to let the word which forever abides in heaven abide in you. St. Paul says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." We have to let that word abide in us, and it needs to begin to work its way out through the way that we live our life. "Unto generation and generation is thy truth. Thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and it abideth." God's truth is handed down faithfully from one generation of believers to the next, and it doesn't change. Now, unfortunately, when you look at Scripture and when you look at church history, not everybody passes it down. And you had times in Israel's history where most people fell away from the faith. But even in the darkest periods of Israel's history, God always preserved a faithful remnant that were standing for the truth. Even in the prophet Elijah's time, he thought, "I'm the last person who's really standing for the truth." And God told him, "No, there are many people who have not bowed the knee to Baal that I preserved unto myself." And in church history, there have been times when there were big sections of the church that fell into error, into heresy, but yet there was always a faithful remnant. So we believe that the truth has been handed down faithfully, and we need to make sure that we do that ourselves. We need to make sure that we hand it down to our children. We can't assume that they're going to get it by osmosis. That's the reason why we have so many people who fall away from the faith in the first place, is we just assume everyone knows certain things. Everybody knows that the Bible is true and that we have to believe it. If you don't teach your children that, if you don't constantly instruct them, how do you think they're going to learn that? In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, the Lord commanded the Israelites to look for every opportunity when you're rising and when you're going to sleep, when you're walking on the road and when you're at home. Instruct your children constantly in the faith. That's how you pass it down from one generation to the next. And when it talks about the foundation of the earth, "Thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and it abideth." God spoke the universe into existence, and the world, the earth, is the surest thing that we can see and touch. But this world is going to pass, but the word of God, which established it, will never pass away. "By thine ordinance doth the day abide, for all things are thy servants." God has ordered all creation, and everything in the natural order obeys the ordinance that God has set for them. Only men fail to do this, and this is unnatural. We need to submit ourselves to God's will if we are ever to become what we were made to be. There are so many angry people, bitter people, unhappy people in this world, and the reason is because they are in an unnatural state. They are not abiding by the ordinances that God has laid for them. They are not being what God created them to be. And if you are not living for God, you are never going to be a truly happy person. And that's not to say that being a Christian is like going to Disneyland and it's one great piece of fun after the other. But there can be a joy even in the midst of sorrow, even in the midst of persecution that you can have. And that's a true joy. That's a joy that doesn't fade away. It's not dependent on the circumstances. It's not going to be there when everything's going good but disappear from you when things are going bad. If thy law had not been my meditation, then should I have perished in my humiliation. The prophet King David, no doubt looking back on his life, saw many examples of how his devotion to God's law had saved him. But what is generally true of this life in the flesh is infallibly true when we're talking about our eternal life. If we fail to meditate on and live in accordance with God's word, we will perish eternally and suffer eternal humiliation. But if, on the other hand, we do meditate on these things and we do live accordingly, we will not perish. We will not be humiliated eternally. I will never forget thy statutes, for in them thou hast quickened me. The truth that we find in God's word gives us life. If you begin to learn God's word and put them into practice, you are going to see that it is life-giving. You're going to begin to experience what that life is. And it's only because so many people fail to even begin to do this that they don't recognize this truth and therefore come to love God's word. I am thine, save me, for after thy statutes have I sought. When we trust in God's word and when we commit ourselves to following him, he adopts us as his children. We belong to him. And because of that fact, because we are his children, because we belong to him, we can call on him to save us and be certain that he will do so because he has promised to do so. Sinners have waited for me to destroy me, but thy testimonies have I understood. Those who are evil always seek to destroy those who refuse to join them in their evil, and we see that more and more in our own time. You would think that some people would be happy because they've declared victory in the culture war. They think they've won it. But they're still not happy because there are still people out there who don't agree with them, and so they're seeking to destroy them, to drive them from every profession except maybe garbage collector or someone who will mow their lawns. And they're seeking to destroy them, and that's just the reality. But if we understand God's testimonies, we won't fall into their snares. Now, that doesn't mean we won't suffer, but that means we won't be led to fall away from the truth. And the word, when it says, thy testimonies have I understood, the word in the Greek Septuagint is actually the word martyria, where we get the word martyr, witness. The wicked sought to force the martyrs to turn away from God, but because the martyrs loved the truth of God's testimonies, they resisted, and they became the embodiment of God's testimonies. Of all perfection have I seen the outcome, exceeding spacious is thy commandments. The word translated as perfection refers to the completion of a task, and the task has an outcome which has a limit. But God's commandments are spacious, meaning that there's not any end to their perfection. We never reach a point at which we're done obeying God's commandments or any point in this life where we can say that we've reached the limits of Christian perfection. No matter how far we may climb in the attainment of virtue, there's always more that we can attain to. The saints never reached a point where they said, you know, I've done everything I need to do and I can just coast from here on out. They were always continually in the struggle to draw closer to God, even closer than they already were. And so we should never be satisfied with where we are spiritually, but we should always seek a deeper understanding of God's word and strive to keep it more perfectly. And if, in fact, we don't see that we're making spiritual progress, then we're actually making regress in our spiritual life, even if we're not aware of it. So we constantly need to be making progress and drawing closer, not just continuing to do the same thing and making no effort to go any further. God's word is truth. It is certain and it's unchanging, and we can never exhaust its riches. So we need to love that truth and constantly seek to understand it and to live it more perfectly, so that when evil people seek to turn us away from that truth, we will have the wisdom and the grace to hold fast to it and to be living witnesses to the truth, following the examples of the martyrs before us who not only knew the word of God but lived it, and though they were slain for the truth, they were given eternal life by it. Amen.